Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to yet another chance to spend some time in the Word of God, to derive a principle or two by which we can just live our lives for Jesus every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a privilege that we have the Word of God available to us. What an opportunity to learn from it, to grow from it, to apply it, to be blessed by it. And I hope that that'll be the case today as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 6. So last episode, we talked about Samuel and his arrival in Bethlehem. People were nervous. Don't be nervous. I'm here to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. It's a time of regional worship. But then the Bible says that he sanctified, set apart specifically, Jesse and his sons. So the people are seeing, this is a public thing, they're seeing a point, a purpose to Samuel's visit that has something to do with Jesse's household. And verse number 6, it came to pass when they were come that he, Samuel, looked on Eliab. Eliab was the oldest. Eliab was just a physical specimen. And so convinced was Samuel that Eliab must be the one to be anointed that he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. What was it, you think, that arrested Samuel's attention and convinced him that this must be the one?
Yeah, I think it would have had to have been the way that Eliab looked. I think a lot of how that Saul looked, you know, very good to the people, would have been the people's choice. Eliab's the eldest, the firstborn. The firstborn, as you know, often was lifted up as a person of prominence in the family. And I think as you would have seen Eliab, he would have looked like, oh yeah, this is a great looking guy. He has got to be the one that God has chosen.
Yeah, for a number of reasons. Number one, logical reasons. He looks good. He is the firstborn. Typically, that would be the one that would have the leadership and the blessing. He is the most like Saul. They have already chosen a king. And when Israel chose their first king, God made it clear it was Saul who was head and shoulders above. So the pattern seems to be true that God wants to pick big and mighty people and powerful, noble people. So to Samuel's thinking, this has got to be the guy. Of course, we know that that's not true, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. So God saw what Samuel saw, and God saw that Samuel saw. And he says, don't look at his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I think that all of us have either quoted or at least loosely paraphrased these verses. You know, God looks on the heart. So what is it specifically about the Lord's rationale here that would be a good takeaway for us?
You know, I think as I look at this, Pastor, is this verse that God has, it is so famous, as you mentioned, that God wants us to know that it is easy for people to look on the outside and just kind of, you know, you kind of value a book by its cover, you know, how it looks on the outside. So let's just say this is great. But God's concerned about the heart of an individual because it is the heart that really will determine where a person is going. Reminds me in some ways of Jesus and the Pharisees, where the Pharisees get onto Jesus and kind of demean his disciples for eating with unwashed hands. And Jesus says, it's not what goes into the body that defiles the body. It's what's in the heart that comes out. That's what defileth a man. And God knows that a person's heart is what truly matters, because the heart, where a person's heart is at, reminds me of Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If a person's heart is right, they're going to be where God wants them to be. But if a person's heart is not right with God, no matter how the outside looks, they're not going down the right pathway.
Yeah, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you think about the heart of man, that's really the seat of your decision-making. Sometimes we'll talk about the mind and the will and the emotions. And those are inner things, things that only God can see. Sometimes we style ourselves that we, oh, I know why he did that, as if we can judge people's motives, and we can't. And Paul was very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to say, quit judging people's motives. You don't know why people do what they do. Matter of fact, you don't even accurately know all the reasons why you do what you do. So just let God do a work in your heart. Sometimes we'll say, is your heart right with God? Or we'll pray the prayer of David, search my heart, try my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O let my not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart. So all of this would have been true about David. And of course, God knew that. God knew his motives. God knew his intentions. God knew that upon which he meditated. Already, David was a man, as a young man, who was thinking about the Lord. The Lord, Lord, you're my shepherd. You're everything I need. You guide me. I love you. You protect me. You're there for me. Already, God has this relationship with David. David has this relationship with God. Later on, God's going to tell David through Nathan the prophet, he's going to say, David, what it was about you that attracted me to you, to call you, was the way that you cared for those sheep. And I said, I know that you have a heart for others, and I wanted you to shepherd my people. All of that speaks to heart issues. So Samuel, you're making some external observations that are just not accurate as far as who this leader really is and should be. Verse number 8, then Jesse, so when Jesse no doubt was stung by the fact that his oldest son was not chosen, Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there retaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So there's the process. Why do you think God, who knew which one should be anointed, would have allowed this process of no, 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 7 times no?
Yeah, I think God, for one thing, I think God is just showing Samuel teaching Samuel some lessons along the way here about how God values the heart of people and chooses people. But I think letting Saul see this play out, that David, the one whom is kind of to the wayside and not even thought about enough to call into the house, that this is the one God wants to choose. And he wants Samuel to see how that God chooses not who man would think is priority, but also who God says is priority. And I think also that God is showing Samuel that he can trust what God has said. You know, God said, go to Jesse, and Samuel now goes to all these sons. And this shows us the heart of faith that Samuel has in God. Well, none of these children are the ones, but I know God said to come here. So do you have any more children? And it shows us Samuel's trust in God's words.
Two things are evident. Number one, to me at least, number one, only God can see what's going on the inside. And then the flip side of that is also true. Man cannot see what's going on the inside. So when the Lord allows Jesse to bring each one of these sons before Samuel, it's helping him by process of elimination to ascertain what God already knows. I think about the case in the ministry of Jesus where the demons who inhabited the maniac of Gadara pleaded that they would not be cast into hell, but would be given reprieve. And remember, Jesus cast them into the pigs. And yet, what did the pigs do? They ran headlong off the cliff and died. The point, I think, was Jesus was not making striking a deal with the devil. He wasn't showing mercy on these demons, but he was allowing them to go into the swine so that in the swine, which the disciples could see, now they would know that these demons were real and had been destroyed. So sometimes God allows things not because he doesn't know or he's playing games. It's because we don't know, and we need some of those visuals. I had a pastor friend some years back. I was trying to make some really big decisions in my life, and I was confused about, you know, what's going on. And this pastor friend referenced this passage, and he said, you know, Kurt, sometimes God brings us through a series of no's so that when the yes comes, we don't double guess that we missed it. And it could be that that's something the Lord is doing here. He's bringing Samuel knows it's one of Jesse's sons, and now he knows it's none of Jesse's sons but one. So the process of winnowing is really a process of clarifying.
And in our lives, you know, as you mentioned, Pastor, God does that same thing in our lives. Sometimes God takes us through a process as we ascertain what he wants us to do. And God wants us to be focused on, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And trust God that he will show us as we follow him, as we talked about before, as we follow him, he will unveil, he will reveal, he'll give us wisdom so that we will know where we ought to go to.
So this process ends with this knowledge that there is another son, the youngest son, who's doing really a menial job, a job not esteemed in that society, being a shepherd. And yet Samuel says, we're not going to partake of this feast. So think about it. The town's there. They're ready to eat. And no one's going to do anything until they go out to the field, find David, get him back. I mean, this would take some time. And so you talk about creating drama and intrigue and suspense. All of that's happening. And the Bible says in verse number 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So it wasn't that David didn't look like somebody that could be somebody. It's the fact that he was red-faced and young and full of energy and would just seem like he would not be ready for this task.
And this reminds me so often throughout Scripture how we find God does what is counterintuitive to people. I think of Joseph and all of Jacob's other sons. You know, that it was Joseph whom God chose. At that time, the youngest son, of course, Benjamin as well later on, but how that God often does things that are contrary to what people think because God knows what is best, and God wants us to learn that we follow him regardless of what God says because God's ways are always wise.
So two big ways that God sees differently. Man sees the outside and makes estimations. God sees the inside. So that's one big. And then another big way that God sees is God sees then, we see now. So we tend to make now decisions based upon what we see. And God makes then decisions based upon what he can see that we can't see. That's why we look at verses like Romans, the end of Romans 11, and say, you know, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't fully comprehend them, so we just have to trust his choices because he both sees what we can't see and sees beyond, as far as our temporal lives, what we can see. So trust his omniscience and trust his eternality.
You know, it is comforting to know, Pastor Day, that God can see what we cannot see and that God will give us wisdom and God will give us discernment as we rely upon him. God will direct our thinking so that we can know exactly where God wants us to be at.
And that's a great place to leave off for today. So we've got David and we've brought him in from the field. He's standing there in front of Samuel And now we're going to see what happens in this anointing process and what is God doing and how is God doing? And I love that song. I forget the exact lyrics, but some may see a shepherd boy, but God may see a king. When others see a shepherd boy, God, he saw a king. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next episode. So hope you have a great day today. Get a lot done. Live for the Lord. And we will see you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.